The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Would you like to survive or thrive? Would you like to start creating the life you would actually like to live, rather than living by everyone else's expectations and requirements? What can we do to change this? Choose it, and that starts now by joining us on Being Outside the Box with your host, Lynn Waldrop.
And welcome to this week's edition of Being Outside the Box. I hope you guys are having a great time. Most of you know that I'm from Atlanta, so we had a second round snowstorm the last 3 days. I have some pictures up on Facebook. If you want to check it out, it's hilarious. We had ice for the first 2 days, and then we got about 4 or 5 inches of snow last night. And already 8 hours later, we have absolutely no snow, and all the ice is melted. That's what. So you get all four seasons in one day in Atlanta. How's it get better than that? So today, we're talking about Valentine's Day. So my daughter's favorite way to put this is Singles Awareness Day. So today I have with me Susanna Mittermeier, who's a psychologist and an access consciousness facilitator and author of Pragmatic Psychology. And we're going to just throw around, what does it mean to be living on this planet during Singles Awareness Day? Welcome, Susanna.
Hi, Lynn. Thank you so much for this wonderful introduction. I love what you say. Like, what is it like to live on this planet on Valentine's Day? Well, you know, to sum it up, it's totally crazy.
Very true. Yeah. And she can give us a little bit different perspective. You guys know I'm calling from the States, but Susanna, tell them where your part of the world is.
Right. So right now I'm in Vienna, Austria, and you know, Europe is kind of confusing. There are many places all crammed up in one. So, you know, Austria is very close to Switzerland. It's not Australia. We don't have any kangaroos here. But I know many people confuse those countries. So it's funny that you say with the snow and all of that, we just, you know, it's usually very snowy here in Austria, in Vienna at that time, because we have winter. And I just been to Norway this weekend for a class, and there it's been extremely much snow. Then I come to Austria, it's almost like summer. So it's really crazy. So weather crazy, Valentine crazy, how does it get any better than that?
For 2 days I watched the Olympics because I grew up watching that with my mom. And so it was right. Just like, oh, let me sit down and watch some of this. And here Russia was having 60 and we were, you know, in the 20s with snow. It's like, what's happening on the planet?
I know. It's like the Earth is, you know, celebrating crazy with all of us.
Very true. Very true. So what was growing up for you like when it comes to Valentine's Day? Let's start there.
I have no idea because it's not really, you know, this is more, I think it's more like an American thing. I just, before this show, it's right now where I am, it's 11 p.m. Before this, I've been watching a little bit of TV and been inspiring myself to this Valentine show by very appropriately watching a movie called Valentine's Day from the United States of America. And it was very like, wow, it's totally different there. Because here in Europe and also growing up, as your question is, it's not really present here. And when I grew up, there was no Valentine's Day. I mean, I think I remember flowers or something, but that's kind of it.
Wow.
And so now that people are more America in, you know, orientated here in Europe, it's like it's becoming more and more present, but more as a thing where you're supposed to buy things for your lover or your lovers, or how many ever you have. you know, be aware to not get confused. So it's just like where you buy things. It's a very materialistic thing. Yes. That's kind of what you get here, but it's not really a, you know, it's not like a present, like it's really important. It's not that significant that I got from the movie. Now, I know it's a movie, so they're always exaggerated.
Not really.
No. Is it really like this in the United States? Is it really like totally important?
Yes. In fact, my husband, I asked him before the call, I said, so Bill, what is your point of view on Valentine's Day? Right. And he called it commercialized romantic day.
Oh, that's great. Right on.
And so one of the things I guess I wanted to tell you is like, I mean, even when I was a kid and I'm in elementary school, like, I think for me, now remember, I'm 49 years old, so today I think they get even more pressure than they did when I was a kid. But for some reason, this is how significant this was, because I actually remember the first Valentine I ever gave a boy. I was in the sixth grade. I won't say his full name, but his name was Ron, and it had this this little card. But I mean, I really even know his full name, and I don't remember half the people in my school, you know? And it was this little card that looked like a typewriter. And you pulled this little phalange and it says, you're just my type. So, and that was in the sixth grade. But I mean, I can remember being in middle school and like you literally were supposed to buy a rose and have it sent to somebody or a carnation. And you were, I mean, you had to buy stuff. You had to buy candy bars. So at that early age, it was so ingrained in us that you have to have someone in your life or you're a nerd, you're a dweeb, you're, you know, you're useless.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, it's like this is on one day, and it like peaks on this one day on Valentine's Day that you're supposed to have one person in life. Otherwise, you judge yourself as a total failure. Yeah. And then, but that's just a peak. I mean, this is what people do all year long. Yes. It's such a big part of our world that we're supposed to have a person in our life that we call our significant other. You know, notice the energy of that. It's like, oh my God, you know, calling somebody your significant other, that's like as heavy as it gets. You know, making somebody the answer of your life, your person who completes you, that's very, like, this is one of these insanities of this world we live in that, you know, totally distracts us from what we truly like to create, right?
Because don't we take all of the focus off of us and put it on someone else? Like that movie, Jerry Maguire, I Would Just Love to Kill Them, that whole, you complete me. Mm-hmm. That was where the saying "you complete me" came in. Where
all of a sudden, missed
it. Yeah, all of a sudden, everybody's like, "Wait a minute! I have to have someone else to complete me. What is that?"
Yeah, I know, right? I know it's like it's this interesting thing of like this whole branch of looking for happiness, and happiness, like most people think, it's a state to go to. Like you're supposed to become happy, and there's always something outside of you involved in that. You know, whether it's the right job or it's the right relationship, the right person, the right career, the right family, the right body, like anything that you're supposed to get to and become. And there's like no gratitude in there for what is. It's a constant awareness, like this constant mentality of lack. There's always something lacking, and you always have to fill that lack with somebody or something rather than receiving the gratitude for what is. You know, people, like most people, don't even see what they have in front of them and receive it as a gift. And it's like, wow, what if we could change that? What if we could come more aware of what actually is in front of you and have gratitude for what is, whether it's a person or no person? What if, you know, and this day is actually as terrible as it sounds, like this, oh my God, this is the day we're supposed to have somebody. What if this could actually be the opening day, the starting day of having no point of view, whether you have a person in your life or not?
Well, you just totally blew my mind. What you said was absolutely brilliant. You know, I have never tied this to lack before, like lack of money or lack of whatever. Mm. I never tied that to lack, and that's brilliant. That's so true.
Yeah. But this is what we all grew up with, right? You know, like what people use as the as creation of their lives is that they're constantly looking for motivation, something that motivates them to fight on, to keep on fighting, to keep on moving forward. And that motivation usually exists of some kind of problem or issue or lack. And when you finally work yourself through that issue, through that problem, and feel that lack, then you know you have achieved. But it's never coming from a relaxation of being. It always comes from, come on, let's change it. Let's get over it. Let's change that issue. Let's fill that lack.
Okay, so hold up. So now what you just said is just as brilliant. So is that the reason why then so many people, once they get what they say they want, then they don't want it anymore? So you get that relationship, and then you have to, because it's not from relaxation of being, it's from that motivation. Now you have to dump that and go find something better.
Right. Yeah.
Yowza.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like, it's so funny. Yeah, exactly what you say. It's really, you know, you just move forward and then you get that thing. It's, you know, right. So many people get like, okay, this is what I wanted. Now, okay, now I got it. And then this like, there's this dissatisfaction, or in a better, like a lack of a better word. But it's this, you know, we all know that when we finally got what we thought we wanted, and then it's not really that. And you go like, really, this emptiness shows up in your world because you tried to fill the void rather than really asking yourself, so what is it that I truly like to create? And when we talk about relationship, so many people think that they totally should have a relationship, and they convince themselves so diligently that they totally would like a relationship. Now, I think not many people have asked themselves whether they truly like a relationship. I mean, relationship is not for everybody. You know, there's so many different people on this planet. Why would every single person on this planet like to have a relationship with somebody? I mean, that doesn't really make sense, does it?
No, but you know what? I can remember the times in my life when I was single and alone, because I was a single parent for years. Mm-hmm. You know, even then it was like, well, you have to go find somebody. And then I'd find somebody and be like, oh, crap, I want to get rid of this and I want to be single again. You know, and then you'd be single for whatever that period of time is that your comfort zone could handle. And then you'd be like, oh, I have to get somebody again. You know, right. So it was this constant, like, recycling.
That's great, recycling.
Yeah, recycling your relationship. Sounds like a new class.
Repersoning.
There you go, repersoning, regifting of your person. So, wow. So this is kind of mind-blowing. So what I noticed you saying, though, one was where we go into expectation that we should, we're supposed to. The other, you keep talking about being in a question. So talk more about that.
Yeah, so what I realized, so when I was in my, how old was I? I was actually 19 years old, and I was basically slipping into a relationship, 'cause I thought that this is what one should have. So I very early started a relationship, had a partner, really sweet one, and we moved into the suburbs, one of those houses, like in the movie Housewomen. No, that's not the name of the movie. You know, where they all live in the suburbs and all the houses look the same.
Uh-huh.
Like one of those, like the really, like very normal kind of thing, right?
We call that suburbia.
Okay, right, that. Yeah. So I moved there, and imagine I was really, really young and started a relationship, and it was a very, very, very long one. And I noticed how I, month after month, year after year, started to lose myself more and more and more. And I noticed how this depression started to sneak up on me. And I wondered, what is going on with me? I know there was no spark in me anymore, no joy anymore. And I realized that I totally had given myself up to this thing called relationship. And so I noticed that, and I asked myself, so whose life am I living? Whose version of life am I living? And that kind of brought this whoa into my world. So I became aware of that I, for years, had been living somebody else's life, because my mother always wanted me to have a relationship, have a normal life, because that's what she thought is good for me. Little did she know that I'm way too crazy to, enjoy a normal life. But that was a story for later. So I, you know, became aware of that I was living somebody else's version of life, and had never, ever asked myself truth. Do I really desire a relationship? or do I desire something different? And if I would desire a relationship, how would that look like? Like, does it really have to look like I've been taught, like making the one person the answer, making the one person your number one, the person who completes you? Or is there actually a totally different possibility of creating with another person that I hadn't even asked about or could imagine was possible? So these were the questions where I started to look from a totally different perspective than I had before.
You know, one of the things that I loved when I did a couple of classes up in Calgary and Edmonton in Canada was, you know, in the U.S. we call them significant others or whatever, yeah. but there they call everybody their partner. Oh. It was very confusing for me when everybody in class keeps talking about their partner. And, well, in Atlanta, it, kind of if you have a partner, you're that means you're a homosexual.
Oh, really?
Because they would have a partner because they can't get married or whatever. So you just get these different, you know, these different meanings attached to words. So, you know, I'm in these classes, I'm like, everybody's got partners here. This is very strange. And then come to find out that just, they don't make it so that one has more significance than the other, right?
No.
Everybody's a partner. I thought, wow, I really like that. That's really kind of nice.
I know. I like the expression lover. I like the expression playmate. You know, like, and I know this brings up so much in people's universes when you say that, depending on which country you come from, it has a different charge on it. But what if listeners could ask, so what is it I would like to create with the whole thing called relationship, with the whole relationship business? You know, what are you asking for? Are you asking for a lover? Are you asking for a playmate? Are you asking for a partner? Asking for a husband? What are you asking for?
How about too? Are you asking for someone to fulfill a specific job? Like, truthfully, when I got married, I had a target that I wanted someone to be a good dad because here I had been a single parent for so long. Not only did they have to fulfill my needs, but they had to fulfill that role for my son. So how many of us even hook up maybe with the quote unquote wrong person or a person that isn't going to be nurturing for us, let's put it that way, because your expectation is they have to fill a particular role.
Right. Yep. You gave them a job that they didn't really sign under for.
Yeah. Yeah, and I never forget, I'm getting ready to get married. I'm getting ready to walk down the aisle. My dad is just bawling his eyes out. And I'm like, Dad, what is going on? Because I'd never seen the man cry my whole life, you know? And he's just bawling. And he's like, your mother and I just never thought you'd ever get married. We're just so damn happy we can't contain ourselves. And I'm just like, oh, that's really nice, Dad, you know, because I had turned on marrying my son's father. I was like, nope, that doesn't work for me. I knew it wasn't going to work for me. And just because I married him wasn't going to make it better for my son or me or anybody.
Right.
So how many times are we stuck or think we're stuck in a relationship that doesn't really work for us? And again, we're basing it off of, are they going to fulfill this job or this need that we've decided they're supposed to fill?
Yes.
So we're going to take our first break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more about Valentine's Day, i.e. Singles Awareness Day, with Susanna Mittermeier. We'll be back in just a minute.
Be visionary. This is the Voice America 7th Wave Channel.
Being outside the box hasn't forgotten about vibrational medicine. We are energetic acoustical beings, and any wave or frequency can affect the body. How can we use that to our advantage? Tuning forks, color therapy, and consciousness are all fabulous choices. Check out LynnWaldrop.com and see the amazing things these therapies can be used for. Nervous system, endocrine system, meridians, organs, and emotions. Classes are being live streamed worldwide as we speak. Join us for the vibration revolution.
Being outside the box. Would you like to unlock all of your unique hidden talents? I facilitate others in how to actualize their capacities. Are you stuck in a rut? Tired of the same boring old thing every day? Have you always known you possessed abilities that you couldn't explain? Tune in to Being Outside the Box with me, Lynn Waldrop, and get an awareness of the mysteries, the unexplainable, and the unknown on voiceamerica.com, 7th Wave Channel, Thursdays at 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern, or check me out at lynnwaldrop.com.
Being outside the box, beyond the possibilities of normal, natural, and scientific laws, Lynn is a psychic medium, psychic development teacher for over 20 years, and Access Consciousness Talk to the Entities facilitator. She is the guardian of what scares most people: ghosts, mysteries, and the unexplainable. What if you could perceive other beings? What if that wasn't a scary thing? And what if they weren't evil? Thursdays at 2 p.m. Pacific Time on Voice America 7th Wave or ParanormalPlaytime.com.
Do you wake up tired and say, ugh, another day? What would have to change in your life so that you don't feel like you're at the effect of everyone, everything around you? If the change was easier than you thought, would you choose it? What if you could actually change your relationship, finances, body, and the way you actually create and generate your life so you have more fun, more money, more joy, and more of you? Listen to Being Outside the Box. What would it take for you to be and do everything you desire in life? Thursdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern.
This is the Voice America 7th Wave Channel.
You are tuned in to Being Outside the Box with Lynn Waldrop. If you have a question or comment about today's program, please call 1-866-472-5795. Again, that's 1-866-472-5795. If you'd rather send an email, our email address is beingoutsidethebox@yahoo.com. Now, back to Being Outside the Box.
Welcome back, everybody. So today I have Susanna Mittermeier on with me, and we're talking about Singles Awareness Day. Welcome back, Susanna.
Thank you. Hello, Lynn. Hello, everybody.
So one of the things I wanted to bring up was, you know, guys, I always look up definitions of things. So I looked up St. Valentine's and what is the meaning of Valentine's Day? And some of this is actually pretty humorous. So St. Valentine's was a Christian saint. And so this was a celebration of him. So that's one meaning. Another part of that is before he was actually executed, because he kept marrying soldiers when soldiers weren't allowed to be married. And I forget who the main guy was, the king that said you can't marry. But he felt that unmarried single men were better soldiers than married ones. They weren't allowed to get married, but St. Valentine had a tendency to go ahead and marry them anyways. And so they jailed him for it. And so he actually healed the jailer that was holding him, and he fell in love with her daughter, and he signed a love letter to her upon his execution and signed it as "Your Valentine." So these are a couple places where this supposedly came from. Another one is the Feast of St. Valentine. So you're supposed to eat yourself into oblivion tomorrow as well. And then the other one that I really liked was Cupid. So there's a lot of stories about Cupid in Roman and Greek mythology and stuff. And one that I didn't really remember was that basically Cupid was actually really an ugly guy. He just presented himself in a way that looked like this little cherub. And, you know, when the girl that he loved actually saw his face, you know, ran shrieking with her hair on fire.
Does he have money?
No, but he had arrows of love. What else could you ask for? So we have all different kinds of stories and urban legends about, you know, where love and Valentine's comes from. And some of them I just find so funny. So religious background, the fact that, you know, an ugly dude falls in love with you, what's that supposed to look like? And then you're supposed to eat yourself to oblivion.
Right.
So you have any points of view on any of that, Susanna?
I know. Well, the summary of that would be love, food, and drama.
There you go.
Just like any movie. Yeah.
Just like any Hollywood movie there is.
Exactly. But that's so funny, the whole drama. You know, people love drama. For years, I didn't have a television because I just, you know, basically you just need to walk outside your door and you got it all. Like most people enjoy the drama. And, you know, working as a psychologist, I have had so many people. I worked in psychiatry for many years. And so I've had so many people come to me with their so-called dramas and traumas. And who like, oh, get me out of this. This is really terrible. I really want to get over it. And when we looked at it, they love their drama. They love their TV soap opera called their lives. but they made it so wrong. So for me, it was also, if you love your drama, love it for real. Go for it. You know, do an Oscar-nominated drama. If you're in a relationship, you know, many people go, oh, we had a fight again. It's so terrible. No, if you have a fight, if you choose to have a fight, go for it. You know, have an Oscar-nominated fight, throw some pillows in it, trash some glasses, and go for it and have fun. At least if you do it, enjoy it. And see how long you're going to uphold the drama.
That is so interesting because, you know, I talk about my daughter Tasha all the time on the radio. She'd probably kill me for saying this, but, you know, she's 24 years old and she loves Disney musicals. So she has this really big idea of that romantic love and what it has to look like from all that. Really big. And I asked her, I said, so what does Valentine's mean to you? And she said, having to buy crap for people to prove you love them.
Oh, yes. Hmm. Yes, that's a good one.
You know, I'm sorry, but some flowers on one particular day of the year and a box of chocolates that I don't particularly even care for, just so you can say you bought a box of chocolates, it really just doesn't do anything for me.
It's so funny because I've heard about this lady who... She you know, she was so eager to get flowers from her boyfriend. And I think this wasn't even on Valentine's Day. It was on some other random day of the year. And she got those. He gave her 12 roses. And she took those roses and smashed them at him and said, no, but you don't love me. And he goes, what do you mean? I just gave you 12 roses. And she goes, no, you're supposed to give me 13 roses because 13 roses means love, not 12 roses. You know, so it was like so funny, this insanity.
Well, and I know a lady who, if you give her 12, it's the same thing. For her, one rose means you love them.
Oh, and then if it's 12...
That means you're just, you know, friends or whatever. I mean, so people have all these points of view on what a stinking rose means, for crying out loud.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So what does somebody have to do to prove that they love you? I mean, like I used to go through different radio shows. If you go through the archives, we would do ones on the word love itself, which to me means absolutely nothing because there's so many definitions of it. I mean, some people, to show that you love them, they need a hug. Some need diamonds and cars. Some need to feel safe. Some need sex. So what really is love? Right. What are we trying to prove on Valentine's?
Right. You make me almost want to sing the song, What's Love Got to Do With It?
And how true is that, though?
Yes, exactly. So, yeah, it's true. Like, this love is, and I'm sure many people are going to get provoked when I say this. So love is, if love is conditional, and you have this, I love you as long as you put the toilet seat down thing, you know, it's like this conditional thing, whatever your conditions are, you know, toilet seat down is kind of an easy thing, not for many, but it is. And so if it's this conditional thing, it's like, it's not really love. It's one of those greatest distractions, those distractor implants of this reality that are, you know, distracting you from what's truly possible. You always think it's about love, and when I finally find love, I shall be happy ever after. Hallelujah, kumbaya. And you're like having this fantasy of when I find the one, when I finally be loved, then you know, whatever you've decided. But this is one of the greatest distractions that people get lost in, rather than asking themselves, what is it I truly like to create? So what is bigger than love is the question. So if love is one of those distractor implants of this reality that basically runs this world because everybody's looking for love and searching for having this fulfillment, but, you know, not many notice that this is not a strategy that actually works, because what it creates is drama and drama, hardship, judgments, struggle in all kinds of shapes and forms and colors. And so the question is, yeah, what is bigger than love? So what's bigger than love is actually total absence of judgment. And what is total absence of judgment? What is total absence of conditions? Well, that's actually gratitude. And that's also something we've talked about in the beginning, right? This gratitude for what is, rather than the constant judgments, the constant lacks that people are so used to, so entrained to living in this reality. If you look at relationships, people usually go, it's like, it doesn't matter. You will, like, doesn't matter what situation you have in your life, you probably will judge yourself. Whether you have a partner or are married, you probably judge yourself for having a partner being married because you think, oh, maybe I miss out on somebody else. Somebody who is single would go, oh my God, I'm so wrong for being single. So whatever people do in this reality, basically what you choose, you probably set yourself up for judging it rather than going, okay, so what's right about what I'm choosing right now? What's right about the person I'm in relationship with that I'm married with? What's right about my choice of having this person in my life? What's right about being single?
Okay, hold on one second, Susanna. So what you're saying is really important here because one of the, there have been so many times in Access where I have not recognized it, like I had a misidentification, a misapplication. Like I could say anybody could judge me, that didn't care, that didn't bother me a bit, but don't accuse me. And then Gary was like, well, Lynn, accusations, judgment, dummy. Okay, got it. So one of the things that you were just talking about, about this judgment, what I realized is how much we compare.
Yeah.
So we're comparing our current relationship with a past one. You know, he was a better lover. He was a better provider. He was a better dad. He was a better something, right? And so we have this longing for something that we don't have, or we're comparing the last time we were single to this time that we're single. So we're always doing these comparisons and that gets us in a lot of trouble.
This was funny. And now I'm a better single than before.
Well, I'm happier now, even though I'm single. Last time I was single, I was not very happy. You know, I mean, we're comparing everything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Totally. And so everywhere where people don't think that comparing is judgment, it is.
Mm. Oh, big time. Big time. It's this total setup for constant perfection. Like this whole relationship business, and especially on Valentine's, this constant search for perfection is such a big part. Having the perfect Valentine's Day, having the perfect Valentine's dinner, having the perfect present. And then this expands out into the rest of the year, perfect everything else. So this perfection, search for perfection is always this. If you look for perfection, you are probably constantly judging yourself whether you have succeeded your perfection or not. And that is a lot of work. That's like more than a 40 hours a week job. That's like a nonstop job if you try to be perfect.
Wow. And how many people are caught in that loop?
And that's not even a good job because it doesn't even pay anything.
Well, and what too about like keeping up with the Joneses? I mean, it's like you're not only comparing about your past or your future, but you're going, oh, well, so-and-so's husband got her this and I didn't get that. Or, you're comparing even with other people. And it's like, well, he must love her more because he got her this, and it doesn't have anything to do with that.
Right. Yeah. Mm. Totally. Totally, totally.
Yep. So how do we get people out of that comparison and out of that judgment? Yep.
So what that actually all of that is, it's all of those ways, everything we talked about now is ways of how you manipulate yourself out of everything that's possible. So it's where you manipulate yourself. It's like everybody has this capacity of manipulating. Which means changing situations, adjusting things so you can create a reality that truly works for you. So manipulation has a really bad reputation. But actually, it comes from the word manus, which is Latin and means hand. And it means you adjust reality the way you desire it to be. And, kids do it all the time. They manipulate. They know exactly what's screen to come with, what sound to do to make you do everything they want you to do. You know, when they want food, they know exactly how to, voice themselves to get what they want. So that is some form of manipulation. When we get older, we think it's wrong. So then we start to use manipulation against us. And talking about this whole relationship business, it's where you manipulate yourself out of knowing what you truly desire. So all of that is a constant manipulation of you to not know what's truly true for you. So do you do clearings here?
Sure.
Cool. So let's run this one. So what manipulation of you are you choosing to create the relationships? No, let's do this one. What manipulation of you are you using to create the relationships you are choosing?
Nice.
And everything that is, will you please destroy and uncreate it all?
Yes, please.
Time to go to the right, wrong, good, bad, pot, pock, all nine, shorts, boys, and beyonds.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, see, and that's brilliant too, because I talk about manipulation all the time, but I've never turned it on its ear like that to really show people how we literally manipulate ourselves out of what we truly desire.
Exactly. That's it. Manipulating ourselves out of what we truly desire. Yeah. Because we all have this great way of knowing how to, you know, talk, how to behave, how to talk to a certain person to get what we truly desire. But then because we judge it as something bad, we turn it against us, which is not a kindness.
Cute, not smart.
No.
So let's go back. So, okay. So for the people in relationships, let's do a couple of clearings. So the people that are in relationships, but it's not necessarily one that they're really happy with for whatever reason in this moment. Is there some sort of clearing you can give them that would assist them in getting into that knowing so that they have more choice?
Right. So there are a couple of things. So one of the things that pops up immediately when you ask that, if you have a relationship and you're not really happy with it. So most people who have that point of view have already left the relationship. So I would ask yourself, have you already left a relationship with that particular person? And I don't mean that you broke up, like say, okay, now we're going to go each like separate ways. It's more that have you in your mind, in your world, already left that relationship? Have you taken your energy out of that relationship? Because if you do, then no wonder is it really hard to change whatever is going on, whether you want to stay together or not. So be aware whether you have taken out your energy out of that relation, have decided it's already done. And then you can use our friends to pot and pox, and you can, you know, pot and pock yourself and say, everywhere I have already decided and, you know, concluded that this relationship is done, I will now destroy and uncreate it. And then you pot and pock it. And you might want to do this a couple of times because it's about changing your point of view. When you change your point of view, you change your reality. So ask yourself, have you already gotten yourself out of that relationship? And then when you have pot and pocked yourself, you will see that situation totally different. You will see, okay, now I do have the choice to ask some more questions to change what's going on. So that would be the first thing.
All right. So let's go to the people that have relationships and they're happy in their relationships, but, you know, we could always use it better. So
lucky ones.
Okay. And is there such thing as really luck?
Happy ones.
So what would we do to make it even better? More than we could never even imagine.
Right. So I think you just said it. It's like this, okay, how does it get any better than that? And the other thing is what we talked about is what if you receive the relationship as it is and be really grateful for it? Like congratulate yourself is, oh my God, this is a really great creation. I'm so grateful for this person in my life. How does it get any better than that?
Awesome. I can just feel the gratitude in what you're saying.
Yeah.
All right. So let's go to the single folks now. Okay. So let's go to all the people who have been really harshly judged or the people that aren't even aware of the fact that the truth is they really don't choose to be in a relationship.
Yes.
What would you say to them?
Well, also there, congratulate yourself to the choice of choosing whatever you choose in that moment, because it's all about, you know, choice creates awareness. If you do a choice half-hearted and you go, okay, I'm single, but I'm kind of supposed to have a relationship, but I do like to be single, but nah, I'm kind of weird being single. I'm way too much judged. You have this back and forth, this yo-yo, which never really creates ease in your life. Rather than, okay, so right now, today I choose to be single, or maybe like this morning, and now I'm going to really commit to that choice and see what that creates in my life. Is this going to create more? Is this expanding my life? Is this creating more space for me? Or what else could I choose? Who and what else can I add that would expand my life? And with that adding part, what if it doesn't have to be come in a certain form and structure, which means what if it doesn't have to come in a relationship with a partner? What if it can come in a form of, you know, business partners? What if it can come in the form of friends? Maybe animals, like what else? You know, there's so many different forms of relationships you can add to your life once you have asked, what is it I truly desire?
And what I love about what you said earlier about playmates is that's actually where I will use something like this, where I'll be like, who or what can I add to my life that would be a great fun playmate for me?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I love that one. So I haven't forgot about you people who are single and desire something. So we're going to go to our last break and we're going to come back and talk about that. We'll be back in just a minute with Susanna Mittermeier.
The Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Seek greater awareness.
Being outside the box, beyond the possibilities of normal, natural, and scientific laws, Lynn is a psychic medium, psychic development teacher for over 20 years, and Access Consciousness Talk to the Entities facilitator. She is the guardian of what scares most people: ghosts, mysteries, and the unexplainable. What if you could perceive other beings? What if that wasn't a scary thing? And what if they weren't evil? Thursdays at 2 p.m. Pacific Time on Voice America 7th Wave or ParanormalPlaytime.com.
Do you wake up tired and say, ugh, another day? What would have to change in your life so that you don't feel like you're at the effect of everyone and everything around you? If the change was easier than you thought, would you choose it? What if you could actually change your relationship, finances, body, and the way you actually create and generate your life so you have more fun, more money, more joy, and more of you? Listen to Being Outside the Box. What would it take for you to be and do everything you desire in life? Thursdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern.
Being Outside the Box hasn't forgotten about vibrational medicine. We are energetic acoustical beings, and any wave or frequency can affect the body. How can we use that to our advantage? Tuning forks, color therapy, and consciousness are all fabulous choices. Check out LynnWaldrop.com and see the amazing things these therapies can be used for. Nervous system, endocrine system, meridians, organs, and emotions. Classes are being live streamed worldwide as we speak. Join us for the vibration revolution.
Being outside the box. Would you like to unlock all of your unique hidden talents? I facilitate others in how to actualize their capacities. Are you stuck in a rut? Tired of the same boring old thing every day? Have you always known you possessed abilities that you couldn't explain? Tune in to Being Outside the Box with me, Lynn Waldrop, and get an awareness of the mysteries, the unexplainable, and the unknown on voiceamerica.com, 7th Wave Channel, Thursdays at 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern, or check me out at LynnWaldrop.com.
The 7th Wave Channel on the Voice America Network.
You are tuned in to Being Outside the Box with Lynn Waldrop. If you have a question or comment about today's program, please call 1-866-472-5795. Again, that's 1-866-472-5795. If you'd rather send an email, our email address is beingoutsidethebox@yahoo.com. Now, back to Being Outside the Box.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. I have Susanna Mittermeier with me today, and we're doing Singles Awareness Day. And, you know, before I get back to you guys who are just dying to get in a relationship, I have one other thing I want to throw out there. And that is, you know, Valentine's Day, especially again here in the United States, it's all about money and how much money you throw at it or spend on it or whatever. You know, last year I gave my husband a huge Valentine's gift and it was like, look, here's the clothes I want you to put on. Here's three outfits for me. You choose what you want. We went to our basement and ate finger food and fed each other and had 70s music, which I love, on this huge reel-to-reel player that we found that you know, he had from the 70s. And we played strip pool and, you know, just had a really good time and just playing with each other. And whoever won pool ended up having to, you know, go pick another outfit and the other person came down. And it just was so playful and so wonderful and didn't really have to spend, you know, a dime. But we've been so entrained and ingrained and implanted that you have to spend all this money to make this happen. And even my husband was totally in shock when I said, you know, he's like, what do I need to do this year? And I'm like, I've got this. And he's like, really? You're not going to be mad at me? And I'm like, no, I've got this. You know, because it's all on the guy too, usually.
Right.
You have a job to do. So everywhere you guys have decided that it's, you know, going to break the bank and needs to cost a lot of money and the guy has to be the one to do it. Ladies, if you know what you desire in your life, whether it's,
tell him.
Exactly. Whether it's really good sex, whether it's a particular kind of meal, you know, do what you got to do. You've set it up.
Yeah. That's so funny that you say that. It's like so many women expect their men to read their minds. It's like men are so grateful if you tell them what you desire in any area of the life. So like really don't expect your husband, your man to read your mind. Tell them what you would like. It makes your, you know, tell them what their job is. Tell them what you would like. It makes their life so much easier and very much yours too.
And the other piece I want to say too about it for all you people who are in relationships, which is why does Valentine's have to be one day of the year? I mean, my husband is so wonderful. I'm so grateful for him. Just random act of kindness day, he'll come home with some flowers he bought on the side of the road, or he'll come home with a card, or he'll just, you know, he'll come home and say, I'm going to take you out to dinner tonight just because I feel like dressing you up and sitting across from you, you know, and talking. You know what I'm saying? why can't we do this all the time? So it's almost like we've been entrained that gratitude is only on this one day. And if you don't have it this one day, you have an epic fail.
Right. Yeah.
So, all right. So people that are single, that are dying to get in a relationship, I'm using that word on purpose, Susanna. So what would you say to them?
Well, I would start by asking yourself, do you really desire a relationship? And the other one is, have you a certain point of view on how a relationship should look like for you? And does that concept, that structure, that way that you've decided your relationship should look like really, really work for you? Because, you know, people who really would like to have a relationship and it hasn't really shown up, there's usually this energetic, like, you know, break. It's hard to explain, but it's like this in their way. It's like a rock in their way. And the question is, like, what have you put in the way? What point of view have you created that doesn't allow you have, that doesn't allow you to have ease with physically actualizing what you truly desire? And so, like, most of the clients that I've been worked with that had this point of view, I'm dying to, like you've put it so beautifully, I'm dying to find a relationship. Most of them, really asking about it, became aware of that they actually don't desire a relationship. And that they had kind of point of view, that they had a point of view in their way from the past, that the relationship that they had before was kind of like their reference point on how to create a new relationship, which totally was like a big break, like a big rock in the way of creating something that actually works for them. And it's like you say, it's the dying to get a relationship. It's like literally you kill yourself to get what you think you want. Yeah. So I had this friend and she had this also this thing of, oh, I'm single. I really would like to create a relationship. So I asked her, what is it you had in the past as form in form of relationships? And then she told me the kind of men that she had been dating and had relationships with and how that actually didn't work for her. And she had the point of view that, okay, because it has been like this in the past, it cannot get any better in the future.
Ooh.
So she did want a relationship, but she didn't want it the way she had it before. So her point of view created her reality because she had already concluded that it cannot get any better in this. So again, if you have that point of view, use your friends to pot and pox and pot and pox all those points of view that you become aware of out of existence so you can start fresh again. So what I usually do is I usually go all the relation, like in the morning, every morning I say all the relationships I've had before this, now and yesterday with everyone in my life, I now destroy and uncreate it. And then I pot and pocket. So it's not that you destroy what you've had created with each other. It's that you destroy all the points of view, all the judgments, all the separations, all the baggages that you carry with yourself. You pot and pock that, you destroy and uncreate it. So you can start and create yourself and create your relationships new and fresh again. So that's kind of like one of the tools you could use.
And that doesn't mean that you actually have to divorce them or stop the relationship. It just means it's not working the way it is, and I want to create it different, correct?
Yes. Exactly. So this friend, she then, you know, being single, I asked her, so Truth, if you could choose the kind of person you would like to have in your life and create a relationship with, like, how would that person be like? And she didn't come with, oh, I want him to have, you know, blonde hair and blue eyes. She didn't say like those specific kind of things, which was very smart of her. But she had like this, I asked her, what is the energy of the person that would expand your life, that would, you know, challenge you and inspire you to be more of you? And then she had like an awareness of what kind of person that would be. And she had a couple of, like, I would like him to, you know, love to dance. I would like him to have money. I would like him to be generous and kind and caring and all of that. So 3 months later, I talked to her and she said, oh, I have this new man in my life. He loves to dance. He has money. He's really sweet and he's really caring. And I said, oh my God, do you remember what you asked for 3 months ago? And she said, oh my God, this stuff really works. I ask and I receive. And because she wasn't in her way of really receiving what she had asked for, it actually could show up. The universe actually could contribute to her because she was asking and she was receiving it.
And notice, though, she wasn't being super specific. You know, no. So many of us have a type that it has to come in this box and he has to do these certain things, and that's what we're interested in, what we like. And that actually gets in our way, correct?
Yes, exactly. Yes. Mm.
And then you and I had talked on the break about, you know, there's so many out there that they're willing to be in a bad relationship, which is better than no relationship. So do you find that a lot of people that you work with that are dealing with their relationship issues, that, you know, should their best relationship be with themselves?
Yes, absolutely. Because so many people are rather, like you say, in a bad relationship than have no relationship at all. And you create this fixing up, like you always try to handle your relationships, fixing them up, rather than, you know, like you say, look at yourself. What can you choose to increase your happiness? Rather than waiting for somebody else to see you, waiting to create the happiness for you, what if you are your best lover? What if you are your best friend? What if you are your greatest playmate? And start with that.
Do you know how hard that was for me in terms of, I guess for me, I equate that to the being alone thing, where it was like I didn't like being alone. I always felt like there had to be, it was so much more fun with someone else around. Now I'm the person, I could go live in a cave and I'd be absolutely perfectly fine because I enjoy myself a lot, you know?
Yes.
But back then I couldn't. I really couldn't see the forest through the trees on that.
Yes.
But it really took me being willing to work with me.
Yes. So the thing here, what you mentioned is like the willingness to receive, because if you're really willing to receive, there's no way you can be lonely. I mean, if you go out in nature and you receive the trees, you receive, you know, like any molecule around you, like there's no way to be lonely. But if you've decided that it has to come in form of a person, then you kind of stick yourself with a limitation there because you think you can only receive from a two-legged thing. You know, a human being. But what if you can receive so much more? What if you right now, you know, open the door and ask yourself, so what can I receive right now in this moment that I haven't acknowledged is possible for me to receive? You know, like even the molecules of the chair you sit on, as weird as it sounds, but try it out, see what that brings to you.
And I have even changed the way I say that every day because what I've become more and more aware of every day is how much I don't know what that looks like, but I know there are things that I wasn't willing to be aware of yesterday that today I'm willing to be aware. So it's almost like I keep asking that every day, like whatever it was I wasn't willing to receive yesterday, I'm willing to receive that today, whatever that is.
Wow. Wonderful. I know. So the other day I was in the shower the other day, you know, so I was showering and I was like, oh my God, like I've never received the shower drops of you know, the water so much and how good it feels. This is something we do every day, but do people really receive those simple things, just the shower and the water on your skin? Not often. What if you did small things like this to amp up your receiving?
Thank you so much, Susanna. We are done for the day. I can't believe it's an hour already. But hopefully everybody out there got some good tips on what to do on Singles Awareness Day. Thank you so much, Susanna.
Thank you, Lynn. Was a pleasure.
Thank you. We'll see you guys next week. And thanks for joining the Vibration Revolution.
Thank you again for joining us for Being Outside the Box. We hope you'll tune in again next week, Thursday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time, for another edition with your host, Lynn Waldrop, on the Voice America 7th Wave channel. Have a glorious and adventurous week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the 7th Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit 7thwavenetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.